Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Hello, everyone. My name is Valencia Scott, and I am part of Turning Leaf Ministries. And the title for my show is called The Ties That Bind. And I will have a special guest again. We have heard this woman of God three times. Today she's going to bring it forth, the word about wisdom. This is a powerful woman of God. She stayed in the word, and God is using her more and more as she come on here to bring forth the word. And her name is Sister Stiers, right?
Yes.
Stiers. Yes. Hello. Tell everyone hello, Sister Stiers.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so we're finna get right to it. I'm going to pray, and a woman of God is going to bring forth the word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as humbly as I know how. Father God, I repent of anything I've done today that's not like you, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that you touch the woman of God from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God, as she bring forth the word, Father God. I pray that people receive the word, Father God, and we repent and turn from our evil ways, Father God, and serve you, God, no other God. In your son Jesus' name, have your way. Amen. Woman of God, is in your hands.
Okay. First, I want to say God is awesome all the time, and I hope everyone listening is doing well. And if you are not doing well, Proverbs 16, chapter 24, verse says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. The words of the Lord are sweet, they are perfect, soothing, and they are pleasing to your soul and body. So let's be blessed today and hear these pleasant words from God. What I will be discussing today is wisdom part two. 2 weeks ago about wisdom.
Yes.
Today we're going to continue on with new key points pertaining to wisdom. Wisdom is one of my favorite subjects, and I never get enough of hearing or talking about God's wisdom. God's wisdom is very important to having a successful and prosperous life. God's wisdom will help you have beautiful relationships. Wisdom is very important to God and should be important to us. Hosea 4, chapter 6, verse says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Because you have rejected knowledge. There are many people who reject God's knowledge because they want to do things their own way.
Yes.
And they wonder what happens when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This includes Christians and non-Christians. One of the main reasons why God makes such a big deal out of wisdom
mm-hmm.
is because he loves us so much and doesn't want anyone walking around with foolish beliefs. The Bible is God's knowledge. Jesus is God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 30, verse says, but it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, revealing his plan of salvation and righteousness, making us acceptable to God and sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God and redemption, providing our ransom from the penalty for sin. It is a good idea to study Jesus' parables in the gospel, to know Jesus, not just follow him. It's so much wisdom in his parables. You might be able to prosper to an extent without God's wisdom, but things will come along in this life that you will not be able to understand with just your own mind
yeah.
and will need further understanding or insight. Now, I know that there are people who are financially prosperous and are not following God, but prosperous doesn't only mean rich in money. Things will still come along in life for people who don't follow God that they will not understand, and they will try to just explain it away with, it's just life. When God clearly says lean into his insight about things, not just come to your own conclusions. Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verse. I know it's not the easiest thing to do all the time as we have so much information coming at us, things going on at one time. But still, God said what he said in his word. Now let us examine some more key points pertaining to wisdom. Proverbs 4, chapter 17-9, verse says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Number one, your mouth.
Mm.
Psalm 30 seconds tonight, like the horse of the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. It is wise to control your mouth. It is wise to not have a nasty mouth. We need to really start realizing the words we say have an effect on other people. We need to start taking serious Proverbs 18, chapter 21st verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Many people really believe that they can say whatever they want at any time, all the time, and think they are completely justified about what they are saying. That is not how it works. You will eventually eat the fruit of what you say.
Yes.
Some people like to curse up a storm and wonder why some others don't want to be around them.
That's right.
If you are saying things like this behind closed doors and thinking no one else sees you, wrong. God sees you, and you should care about what he thinks. It's not only just the cursing. It's rude behavior and bad behavior. That push, push, push attitude, rush, 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 get out of my way because I am more important.
Mm.
Proverbs 15, chapter 4, verse says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. A perverse tongue can ruin someone's heart. Now, none of us is perfect, and we can slip up at times. But some of us have this, and that's where the problem comes in at. Like, for instance, I don't like waiting in long traffic. Now, I might roll down my window to see what is going on, to see if there's an accident, construction, or other things. But I'm not going to roll down my window and start yelling at people, getting a nasty attitude, because things like that just happen sometimes. I also don't like to wait in long grocery lines or drive through, but I'm not going to pull up to the drive through person yelling at them about what took them so long. I am willing to admit it does annoy me sometimes with long lines, but I'm not going to just say nasty things to a person. I saw this type of behavior in a drive through before. A lady was waiting on food, and she got annoyed for waiting, knocked on the window. The woman came back out, I think, to tell her it was almost ready, got with her food. The girl cursed her out and drove off.
Mm.
Psalms 19, chapter 14, verse says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words out of your mouth need to be acceptable to God and other people. You know what we really should be asking God? We should be asking God to prompt us when something unacceptable is about to come out of our mouth. When I'm about to lose my temper, help me to not let that come out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 5th chapter 3rd verse says, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. We should hold our peace and speak only when we know it's right. I know that people say and do wrong things. Certain way God wants you to handle this, and we shouldn't just let our anger out at any time we feel like it, but speak when God says the right time to speak. God has a certain way of putting things to others without all the loud yelling and cursing that will stop the person in their tracks. And sometimes God might just tell you to walk away, not worth your time. He has done this with my husband and me before. Someone was saying something inappropriate to us, sounding ridiculous, and God was like, this is not worth your time, just keep going. This is one of the many reasons why we need the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. It can help us avoid unnecessary trouble. Point two, envy. Proverbs 14, chapter 30, verse says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. It is wise not to envy or be jealous of other people. Sometimes I have heard people say, why do they have a new car? Or why do they have that type of home? It's not fair. Why don't I have those things? Well, first, you don't know if the reason why someone has gotten that home, car, or whatever else it is because of God. It could be God's blessing on that person's life. We have to be careful judging as though we know the reasons why someone has something.
That's right.
Okay, let's say you do know for a fact that the person isn't serving God, and they do have a lot of nice things and is wealthy. Still do not supposed to be envying them. Proverbs 23rd chapter 17th verse says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." If we trust God the way we're supposed to, then he will prosper us. Do you realize that you are unique to God and that God has given you giftings and callings? There is a unique personality about you, unique talents. God loves you so much, and there is never a need to be envious of anyone else. So what you don't have, the business talent someone else has, or the color eyes someone else has, or the features the world says you're supposed to have, God looks at the heart. 7 verse says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Yes, he do.
God wants people with the right heart. God would rather have someone in a position who is not attractive but has the right heart than have someone that is very attractive but their heart is wrong and not seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
You should find out what God wants for you in your life. You have a purpose in this life to complete, so let's get busy. Point number 3, Proverbs 6, the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him. I'm going to focus on a couple of these first. It's Proverbs 6, chapter 18, verse, which says, "A heart that creates wicked plans." We know that there are people in the world that create wicked plans, and God hates that. But do we realize that when people do us wrong, that it's wrong for us to devise wicked plans back? Romans 12, chapter 19, verse says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." I know people can sometimes do some mean things, say some mean things, but I'm going to fix them for this. So people sometimes think of one of the worst ways they can repay someone.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to calm ourselves down and say, no, God is going to take care of this. Now, if the person comes to us and says they are sorry, we are supposed to forgive them. In Matthew 6, chapter 14, verse, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So forgiveness is extremely important to God. The second verse I will discuss is Proverbs 6, chapter 19, verse. "A false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." What I want to say about this is, it is unwise to spread lies about a person, and it is wrong to spread things you have heard and you are not even sure if it is true. Also, some people just love to start conflict in their neighborhood, job, friends, family. They live in it, and they get their kicks out of it. They love laughing at other people's misery, and they will try to make themselves look good at the same time. Well, I am here to tell you that God hates that type of behavior, and people need to stop behaving that way.
Amen.
Point number 4, strife. Proverbs 20, chapter 3, verse says, "It is an honor for a man to keep away from strife by handling situations with thoughtful foresight. But any fool will start a quarrel without regard for the consequences to argue. And I do not like to be around people who argue and bicker all the time. It is not healthy for any relationship to be arguing and being in strife all the time." What does that say to your children? What does that say to other people? The reason why some children grow up with that type of behavior because they watch their mother and father act that way. And it's just a consequence of what has happened by watching their mother and father. Some arguments just come because I won't. I'm justified and right, and don't consider the other person's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Exact term for that is called selfishness. Does that mean in relationships you perfectly agree on everything? No. But some people live in constant disagreement, yelling and screaming, far from healthy. Strife can do harm to your health also. It can cause heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say relationship, I'm not just talking about a boyfriend and girlfriend, a husband and wife. People do this with their own family, such as mother, father, uncles, and friends on a consistent basis. God definitely wants you to be wise and stop living like that. Start delighting yourself in the Lord and start letting him change your heart around to seeing things his way. Proverbs 22nd chapter 24th verse says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered." I was working with someone one time, and I came into work, and I had spoken to them like I normally do when they come into work. But that particular day, I was just quiet. Sometimes I'm just like that. I don't have a whole lot to say, and I probably was tired. Then while I was working with them, they just burst out of nowhere and said something like, "Why are you acting funny?" I asked them, "What are you talking about? You're not saying anything. You're acting funny towards me." I'm like, "No, I'm not." I can tell they were about to start yelling at me. I said, "I just don't have a whole lot to say today. It's not you. I'm just quiet. I wasn't saying too much of anything to anyone." And think I also told this person I was tired also. I was just more interested in getting this day over with and going home. And they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know." I'm thinking to myself, "Wow, really?"
Mm-hmm.
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised because I knew how the person was a nice person. But sometimes they just take things the wrong way often.
Mm-hmm.
The point of the matter is be cautious around people that easily get mad all the time. You need healthy relationships in your life. Point number 5, it is wise to work at the right job or be in the right career field.
Yes, it is.
God has proven this truth to me time and time again. Places matter to God. Deuteronomy 2nd chapter 3rd verse says, "You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north." One time I went on an interview for a job. This was some years ago. In the interview, there were key things said that was a clue this might not be the right job for me.
Yeah.
So as I thought, I don't know that for a fact. I thought to myself, well, you don't know that always, which is true. You don't always have that feeling. So they told me that they would get back with me with a decision later that week. So at the end of the week, I got a phone call that said they had selected me. Oh, I was excited. Not really excited about the job in itself, but just excited that my problem was solved.
Mm-hmm.
I was tired of being at home, and I just wanted the problem solved. I was ready to go back and brag to my family and friends about my new career.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working there the next week. And by the end of the next week, I was like, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
I was miserable, mad. I also found out that nice behavior that person had who was interviewing me, which was the manager, was fake.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the customers and employees behind their back like they were so perfect. Two managers, and both were acting that way. Not too long after that, I got out of that place. I knew I had a feeling in that interview that something was wrong, but honestly, I didn't care. I just wanted the problem solved. God made it very clear afterwards that was not the job he had intended for me. Now, I did eventually get the right job, but that was not it. My own impatience got the best of me. After that, I thought, I do not want to experience that again. I was trusting God for a job, but my problem was I just got tired of waiting.
Mm.
God has used me at jobs to be a blessing to others and not just my boss. So God needed me to be in the right place, not only for myself, but to be a blessing to other people in various ways. It's not just about us only. He wants to work through you for other people. change of heart can be dependent on that. Someone's life can be dependent on that. Someone needs to be guided in the right direction, and you are that person that's meant to do it. I think a lot of times we just don't look at things in this way, but God does. This is why it is good to be communicating with God by letting him put his desires in your heart so you will understand and know what he has called you to do. We say, God, I want my problem solved. He says, I am going to solve your problem, but while you're waiting, do this. That's where the problem comes in with us, is the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better to wait on God and let things be done right instead of just taking things into our own hands. Point number six, loving your neighbor. Matthew 19, chapter 19, verse, father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. First, no matter what your mother and father have done, God still wants us to love and respect our mother and father. No exception to that. Okay, who is the neighbor? Jesus talks about this in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Our neighbor is anyone who we run into that is in need of help,
mm-hmm.
and we have the resources and ability to be able to help them. Now, there are people who use people, and God doesn't want us to be taken advantage of,
yes.
but he will guide you with right judgment and give you discernment about people. I want to make a point about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for instance, you have someone you know personally or someone in your neighborhood who is lonely a lot of times. You find that with older people, not all, but sometimes, and they just want someone to sit down, spend some time with them. And the person says, oh, but I don't have time. Most of the time, that's not true. They just don't want to. Okay, then the person needs to think about what when they get older. What if they found themselves sitting out on the porch wishing someone would just spend some time with them? It is wise to love and care about other people's needs and problems. Show them the same love and courtesy that we would want. If it is in our ability, time, or we have a good solution for their problem, then offer it. For instance, just like the example I just gave, if the person does not have the time to spend with that person, then offer an alternative to that person, such as getting involved with a program in their city that has activities with other people so they won't be lonely. Loving your neighbor means you might have to sacrifice some of your time or some of your resources to help the person. Now, we are all not called to everyone we see that has a problem. God will have you assigned to certain people,
yeah.
and you are meant to solve their problem. Maybe you aren't meant to solve a particular person's problem, and God will let you know that. But my point is that we should keep an open mind just in case we are the one that is meant to solve the problem. Point number seven, it is wise to have a wonderful prayer life and constant communication with God. I am not talking about complaining to God every day to constantly do something specifically for you in your life when you have already asked him once because he has already heard you. So you find scriptures after you have already asked him that fits that problem. Believe, confess, and speak them regularly, and just keep thanking him that problem is solved. I've done this many a times before. It worked. I'm talking about praising and thanking God, worshiping him, also interceding people on their behalf. Ephesians 6, chapter 18, verse says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God loves to be praised and thanked. Point number eight, and my final point, social interaction small groups. It is good to have Christian friends, a group of people in a smaller capacity that cares about your problems, and you can speak to them because you can't get that more personal communication out of a larger group. This means that there are some times when you attend a large church, you will not always be able to address all of your issues with everyone because of the large amount of people. Some things going on in your life, you just don't want everyone to know. Even everyone in your church, as they might spread it around to everyone in the church. So that's why it's good to have social interactions with Christian friends or meeting with a small group of believers on a regular basis. My final comment is God's wisdom is very important. And these are just some more key points I want to cover about God's wisdom. God's wisdom has answers for everything. God's wisdom should always be top priority because not only does it benefit our own lives, but others as well. Okay, that's it, Valencia.
Okay, thank you, woman of God, with that part two of wisdom, and that is a very, very powerful word. You touched all the key points. I love how you talk about the spirit of discernment. I love how you talk about, you know, the jobs, because people are like, I want this job, I want that job. And I always say it's not even about what you want. When it comes to a job, you're like, God, what is the mission? What do you want me to do on this job? Because we all, when we get saved, we can't think about ourselves anymore. We always got to think about getting another soul saved. So that was a very powerful message on wisdom. And can you please get them your website address and everything before we close?
Okay, hold up. Let me find. I don't know it. But I got it. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
I had to look it up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's thiers.wix.com/teachings.
Okay. Is there any kind of way you can like post it on my Facebook and they can go into it?
Yes, I can do that. I can definitely do that.
Yes, and everyone, please check it out. This is a powerful woman of God. This is her fourth time being on this show. When are you coming back?
Probably in a couple of weeks. Either 2 or 3 weeks. So probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or 3 weeks.
She will be coming back, bringing the word of God, because she goes into deep teaching. And when a person goes into deep teaching like that, that means they be in their word a lot. To break down those key notes and points like that, she has to really be in her word to translate it and things like that. And I love the spirit of discernment. I love that. I'm glad she put that in there. And again, woman of God, I want to thank you once again for coming on the show, talking about wisdom. And she will be back in, I'm sure, in 2 weeks. I'm going to post this again on my Facebook page, and also if you don't see it on my Facebook page, go into Turn the Leaf Ministries, and for every one number that I have, I will be sending it out. So I pray that everyone have a blessed day. Woman of God, can you close us out in prayer, please?
Okay, I just want to say, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this beautiful word, and I just thank you for all the callers that are listening right now. I pray that you would just bless them for this week coming up and watch over them and their family and just watch over all of us. You are so good all the time, and I just praise you for your faithfulness, your compassion, your mercy on all our lives. Thank you so much, Father, for everything you have done for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, woman of God. And I want to thank Turner Lee Ministries, Mary Mills, and Brandon Turner. And I pray that everyone have a blessed day. God bless.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.